hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch. Let's welcome Julia.
Wow. Well, I couldn't resist playing the grand piano because I know it's a little bit antisocial because you're kind of all over there and there's like covers over here and there might be people hiding under there, I don't know. But I'm going to just take advantage of this opportunity because this is like turning up to work and then someone's taken away your boring old normal computer and they've left you with some, you know, gorgeous, bespoke, beautiful thing, which is also known as the grand piano. So lovely to meet you. My name's Julia, your name is? Awesome. Nice to meet you, Steve. Steve, excited to be here as always. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to share a little bit of my life and a little bit of my journey. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I feel very much at home here, to the point which we had no plans, preparations, and about 4 o'clock I thought, oh, I wonder what time I should turn up, which is cool. Doesn't mean you're disorganized. Well, it might mean that, but, you know, we'll take it as a compliment. Instead. So I was born in the 70s. Who remembers the 70s? Yep, cool, a few people. It was last millennium, but don't feel bad about that. But I think you're born in one decade, but you're cool in the next one, yeah? Yeah. It's like you sort of hit your mojo, you know, in your next decade. So 80s were my jam. 80s were, yeah. And so in the 80s, I was really cool because I had one fluorescent pink sock and one fluorescent green sock. And I had another pair the same. Figure that out later. But there was one thing that we had in the 80s and we liked to get a perm. Who's had a perm? We'll pray for you later. We like to get, yeah, how many men have had a perm? Oh, honestly. So what happened was I went along to see a movie and I went to see this movie called Top Gun. And Kelly McGillis, she had this kind of glorious hair. And so I went along to the hairdresser and I said, can you give me these natural waves? And she said, sure, I'll give you a body wave. Now, a body wave is basically a perm that doesn't work. So she gave me this body wave and it just, like 2 days later, it just fell out. So not the, just the curls, you know. So my sister said, look, don't worry. We can fix this. Obviously, your hair is hard to perm. So we're going to deal with this problem. What we're going to do is we're going to use two words that should never be put in a sentence together. We're going to do a home perm. Just to double down, we did a spiral home perm, ladies and gentlemen. That's where you twist the hair, you put it on the curlers. And we thought, well, seeing it was hard to curl, let's just leave it on for twice as long. And some of you can see where this is going. My hair went in straight and about this long. It came out curly and about this long. And it had a life of its own. If I turned my head quickly, I would get whiplash. You know, my curls would enter the room 4.5 minutes before I did. And they said, don't worry, it will relax. It didn't relax. It was clearly very tense. And so what happened was it just stayed there. And unfortunately, as it grew, it wasn't curly. So I had quite a long time. There are no photos. Thank goodness there's no such thing as Instagram back in those days. But anyway, back in those days in the 80s when I was cool, I remember sitting in church with my mum and hearing her voice and hearing the voice of my family as we would sing these songs in church. So if you'll indulge me for a minute, this is a little combination of two of my favourite songs from that kind of era. In his time. An awkward moment in church as to whether they clap or not, because some churches are kind of anti-clapping because it's like it's for the Lord and not for me, and you know, and I get that, but it's almost like, you know, do they hate me or not? But that was nice, so thank you, because it depends on the flavor. What's our flavor? C3. See, Pentecostals are great because they started clapping like, you know, about an hour ago and they haven't stopped yet, so they just kind of they just clap for everything because it's great. And if it's all going to custard, you just say, let's give the Lord a shout of praise, and then it just, you know. It's the ultimate out, eh? You're like, I can feel it. Sorry, I'm just letting all the cats out of the bag, eh? They're running. I did a communications workshop yesterday. And so in that, you know, we sort of lifted the veil and told them all our tricks. It was, oh, so sorry about that. But we like to pretend that everything's just going nicely. But anyway, I was brought up in a really conservative, strict church, and I was really of the oppression that, of the oppression, bit of a Freudian slip there, of the impression, too soon on that one, but anyway, of the impression that if I made all the right decisions as a Christian, I'd end up with all the right results. If I put my insurance in place, everything would be sweet. And that worked quite well for about 40 years until after a while I ended up with my neck minute year. You familiar with the concept of neck minute? Everything was going great. Neck minute. As my father would say, it all turned to custard. And he's British. Anyone got a British father? Yeah, pray for you later. Yeah, no, they're cool. They're lovely, but they're a bit of a tough crowd. English dads. Yeah. I turn up to his house looking less than well-groomed. He goes, oh, given up the fight, have we? I know, so rude. And then he said to me once, he goes, oh, I liked it when you had blonde hair and pigtails. So I said, well, I liked it when you had hair. So we're kind of even on that one. Anyway. So I went through this neck minute year of real crisis, and during that time I was just really confronted with the fact that all my theory was now being put into practice and the kind of the rubber hit the road. And I was able to fall back on one of the things that I really ran back to with the songs of my childhood. And this song, It Is Well With My Soul, I loved it because it doesn't say, it is well with my finances, or it is well with my relationships, or it is well with my health. It just says, it is well with my soul. And sometimes all we can control is actually what's going on in this space rather than what's going on around us in our world. So this is my version of the hymn, my grandma's favourite song. So here we go. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow lies sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have told. Thank you. Oh, I can let my stomach out now because I sort of had a bit of, you know, he's sideways. It's kind of awkward. I can just relax. Sorry, too much information, eh? Thanks, babe. This is my husband. I know. I came down to Christchurch and I stole him. Sorry, ladies. But, you know, they say the best men are all from Canterbury. I agree, actually. Because I say they spend more time being rugged and romantic and less time doing hair and makeup than the Auckland guys. So, you know, it's... oh, dear. Any Auckland guys here? I'm sorry about that. Sometimes you just get up and you feel like you're just sort of a bit of truth serum. We had fun on the... Didn't we have fun on the flight? Actually, it's a miracle he's still alive because we got on the plane. And what I like to do is I like to sort of call things out and just stir the pot a little bit. So we got in the plane and I said very loudly, there was a very nervous flyer behind me and she was freaking out, really annoying me. She's like, nee, nee, the flyer. I said to her, if it's that bad, don't fly. You know, just drive. It's not that hard. Actually, no, that's not true. I prayed for her. Yeah, I laid hands on her. No, I was just like, oh, shut up. You know, it was annoying. It was more annoying than a child because you couldn't even tell them off because, you know. And so I said very loudly, oh, babe, do you remember seeing in the paper the other day that lady that got sucked out the window of the plane? He's like, what? And I said, you know, sucked out the window fell out. Out the window. And, of course, she was on the window seat, so that was really helping. And I turned to him and he looked at me and he looked at the window, which is about that big. And he looked at me and he looked at the window. He said, babe, don't worry. You wouldn't fit out that window. Should I say what it, actually what he said was your butt wouldn't fit out that window, but I'm not going to go into that. Yeah, so anyway, he was in hospital for a couple of days. I should be in jail, really, but anyway. All right. So anyway, I'm Julia. My big topic, my big message that I'm working on at the moment is based around mental wellness. And during that neck minute year, I went through a whole lot of stuff that pushed me into a world that I had never, ever discovered or never encountered before. And for me, having dealt with a whole lot of stress and crisis, I went through clinical depression, anxiety, panic, a whole lot of things that I always thought, oh, these are just for the drama queens. You know, oh, those people over there, they have those issues. I don't have those issues because, you know, I'm fine. And what I've discovered is the older I get, I realize that my life is great more from good luck than good management. I'll be honest with you. I used to think it was just because God was blessing me, but the reality was I had some incredible privileges growing up. I was brought up in a beautiful home, in a very much a you know, middle-class, wonderful Christian environment. And so dealing with some of this stuff has been deeply humbling for me. I went through, during that neck minute year, my husband I'd been married to for 17 years decided he no longer wanted to be married to me. And I just, everything was going great and it just all fell apart. And I say that my life has been a long series of getting knocked off my high horse and getting back on progressively smaller horses. And right now I'm saddling up a chihuahua. It's like... You know, and it's interesting, Rachel, you're talking about those times when I was young and idealistic, and I sit in church and I see the young and the idealistic, and I'm like, good luck. Yeah, you know, and this guy got up, we were visiting a church this morning, and he was speaking away, a young guy, and, you know, there's something inside of me wants to be like, bro, you'll be fine. It'll all turn to custard at some point, but you will be fine. Don't panic. But it's amazing how humbling it is to be put into a situation that you had never anticipated. And so for me, mental wellness has become this big topic that I'd never really seen myself heading into. But I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about this in the church. So much so that that's become our big message. And we're going around the country and beginning to work internationally saying, you know what, there are three big things. First of all, mental wellness issues are a reasonable response of the body to stress. They make a lot of sense. When I tell you a bit about my story, it will make sense to you that I'm a bit mad. I say, I'm talking crazy, and I'm the visual aid. You're welcome. The second thing is that there's so many tools in the toolbox. There's so much we can do, actually, to improve our mental wellness. And the third thing is we are all on a spectrum of mental wellness. I don't talk about mental health challenges and issues and stuff. It's a spectrum.
Now, some of us are way peaking on the really struggling in areas, and some of us are perfectly well. But guess what? We're all on the spectrum. And we can all deal with stress and our mental well-being in different ways. So we have been working on at the moment, people say to me, well, that's cool that you come and speak in church, and I'll share a bit about it in a moment. But they say, what do I do? My friend's struggling with depression or anxiety, or, you know, my friend's got a rash, you know, yeah. It's you, it's definitely you. But, you know, my friend's got depression. You know, what do I do? And so what we've done is I've taken these little moments and put them into 1 minute videos. That's because I've got terrible ADD and I can't concentrate for more than a minute. I don't even have that excuse, really. I just made that up. But a minute's long enough for me to sort of focus. And so I've made these 1 minute videos and I'm putting them onto Facebook, and they are being spread around. They're from a Christian kind of lens, but I don't really speak Christianese, because to me this stuff is for everybody. Because Jesus said, I came that you might have life and life more abundant, and he didn't actually mention, you know, who that was for. That was for all people. And so if I'm going to ask you guys a little favor tonight, if you're interested in supporting a bit of what we do, to come onto my Facebook page, is Julia Grace NZ, and to jump on there and to share the videos. Now, I have realized, of course, that none of this is making me any money, but that's totally fine. I'm sure the children can, I don't know, look in the bin or something, but they'll be fine. No, I'm kidding. But what I'm saying is, this is not actually a thing like that. This is just me going, we want this message to go lots of places. So if you can share that stuff on our behalf, it's just an incredible message of hope. In New Zealand, we're great at ripping off the Band-Aid. Let's all talk about depression. Now what? We're all depressed. Woohoo! And it's like, what do I do now? I don't even understand what that means. What does that look like? Why am I here? How did this end up? And so I'm giving tools and tips into that. So coming onto there and sharing those would be amazing. Sorry, I didn't mean to do an infomercial for there, but if that's all right. I'd love to do an infomercial. I'd do a great infomercial. Because when I'm on tour, I watch a lot of TV in the middle of the night, and 1 o'clock in the morning is a vulnerable time to watch an infomercial. Hey. You're just like, 1 o'clock in the morning in Whangarei, I nearly bought myself 2 shark liftaways and a Nutribullet. Luckily, they have a comprehensive money-back guarantee. Anyway, so I think I'd make a good one. Anyway, so there, and also the other way of helping is by coming, just giving us your email address, jumping on our mailing list, and then I can actually just say to you, hey, prayer, we appreciate your prayer support. A little bit of an update, and then links into all that stuff. So that's enough there. I do have some CDs for sale just to finish the infomercial. First two are there, and that one, I actually won a New Zealand Music Award for that first one. Thank you. Helen Clark presented me with my award. She said, congratulations! Which was exciting and frightening at the same time. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, the reason I create music is because it's expensive and annoying to make. No, actually I make it because people come back and say to me, the songs that you sung were the soundtrack of my healing. And I know that because they tell me, but also that other people's music has been that for me. Part of my mental wellness of getting well has actually been listening to songs that have uplifted me and turned my heart towards hope and life. And so I make music that's not exclusively for Christian at all, but I'm really proud of what I've created with those things as well. You know, it's like kids, so you don't have a favourite, although we all know who it is. It's the baby. And that's the youngest one, so I'm proud of that one. But yes, I've got it as well, a collection of hymns, and then Girl on the Kitchen Floor is what I'm going to speak on tonight. So during that period of time, during that neck minute year, I had this psalm that really resounded and sat in my heart really, really well. And so it says this, Psalm 94 verse 18, unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. This walked with me. Now, I'm quite big on shoes. I like a good shoe. Amen. I think that's a word for some of the ladies there. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'll put it on a CD for you. Testing, testing. No, it's true. Yeah, definitely. I love it. You know, now, I was brought up pretty British. I had a pretty hardcore mum, practical Barbara, post-war. You know, and so we were pretty good at the silence of death. You know, keep calm and carry on. That's our British heritage. You've heard of the saying, eh? Keep calm and carry on. I disagree. I say make a big scene. and then carry on. Now, some of us, we're not good at making a big scene, but to be honest, some of us also need to carry on. I think there's a responsibility on both sides of there. You know, but kids, they don't worry about this stuff. They just let it. Kids just tell you. Like, they just vote with their feet. I played once at my son's school. They asked me to sing a song, and this kid sat in the front. He just looked at me. Halfway through the song, he just turned to the back and started eating his jandal. I'm like, bro, tough crowd. So as long as everybody's facing the front and no one is consuming their footwear, it's a good evening. But you know, I remember saying to Mum, she was just kind of like a bit hardcore with this stuff. And I said to her, I want a spa pool. How come we can have, everyone else has got a spa pool. That means one person I know has a spa pool. And so she said, I'll give you a spa pool. She put me in the bath in my togs with an egg beater. Not really the same, is it? No. Yeah. Some of you young ones, don't panic, it wasn't an electric egg beater. I am from West Auckland, but we draw the line there. You know, she wasn't trying to kill me. But in those days, we had things called hands, and they did stuff called work. So, anyway. Too soon. All right. We need to speak. We need to learn to speak out and not be caught in the silence of death. With our mental well-being, it's too easy to just go, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Kiwis, honestly, we need to identify our weakness earlier. The verse says, my foot is slipping. My foot is slipping. Not it's already broken and I've fallen down the hole again. We need to identify our weakness at the wobbly point. We need to be, and actually, for each other, but wobbly. We need to learn what are our triggers, what are our things that actually make our mental well-being under pressure. And I know for me that when I come and do ministry stuff and when I speak and when I sing, I get really excited. I love this. To me, this is like my favorite thing. I'm not one of those pastors that gets up, God's really called me up here and I hate it. I used to hear them when I was young, oh, well, the Lord's called me to do this and I don't like doing it. I was like, well, get off. It's a real burden to be on the stage. I'm like, I'll do it. Clearly you're not in the right job. But, to me, this is actually this is what I love to do. I'll let you in on a secret. This is like me playing tennis or golf if I liked tennis or golf. It's great. I love it. But, when I come off from this sort of scenario and this environment and I come home, I've realised that what can happen is my energy level can really dive. And after you've done what you love, even though it's so great, you can actually dive. And I know for me, Michael has just been my absolute rock in this stuff to actually identify when I need to be supported in these things. Both of us have dealt with our own mental wellness stuff. He's dealt with burnout, particularly from business and from work and that sort of thing. And so we've learned to identify the triggers in one another and to say, baby, how are you going with this stuff? And we need to do that. Kiwis, we're terrible. We've got to ask better questions. Here's a good Kiwi chat. Hi, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. It's like a counselling session for a Kiwi. Well done. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, how was he? Oh, he was good. How do you know? Because he said so. We need to ask better questions. Now, I've been a school teacher for many, many years, just a casual teacher now, and I get asked great questions, especially in West Auckland classrooms, generally from boys named Jaden. Amen. Yeah, Jaden, eh? Or don't. Is any Jadens here? Sorry. It also goes for Caden, Graydon, Shraden, anything with an X or a Z in it. Am I right? I've got a theory. The more spectacular the name, the less spectacular the child. That's generally... We might need to take that off the tape. But I thought I'm going to do my master's degree. I've got a theory. This is an untested theory, so this isn't true, and it's actually not in the Bible. But I have a theory that if you threw a rock through a West Auckland classroom at any given moment, you would hit someone called Jaden. And he would not be doing what he was told. Like I said, untested theory. Anyway, so this kid came up to me. I was wearing a big ring and it had a big piece of glass on it. And he goes, Miss, is that a real diamond? I said, if that was a real diamond, do you think I'd be here? I've been asked, what colour is this blue pen? How long's the 40-hour famine? My personal favourite, I was wearing a Huffa t-shirt. Had like a map of New Zealand, kind of tone on tone, grey on grey. And the kid goes, oh, Miss, you spilled coffee on your shirt. I said, is it in the shape of New Zealand? Genius. Your love, O Lord, supported me. Not your love, O Lord, stopped everything bad from happening to me, but your love, O Lord, supported me. That's the inference. I needed supporting. Stuff happened. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now, I was brought up with that verse thinking, I kind of wish it said if. If you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. If you were, but no, you know what? It says when. It's going to happen. Because part of life is growing up, and part of growing up is going through stuff, and part of going through stuff is actually learning to come to terms with reality. We don't want to be a whole bunch of namby-pamby babies that can't cope with anything. Now, I'm a parent. I've got two kids, and my son's 14, my daughter's just about 19. The last thing I want is for them to grow up thinking that, you know, the world owes them a favor, or that they're, because I need to protect them. And they fall off their bike or they do something wrong, and part of me wants to go, oh, poor baby, and the other part is like, you know what, you're learning a valuable lesson. Here, it's actually important. But we also think, oh, well, it'll never happen to me. It's always going to happen to those people. You know, those people down the pew. You look across, you're like, oh, those bad people. Those 9% tithers. Those ladies who don't wear hats in church. Those ladies who preach. We've all got our opinions. Every little denomination thinks they've got some kind of, you know, we got, and they've all got an opinion on why my life turned to custard, you know, and they're all different. The Baptists would say, stop drinking. Anglicans would say, start drinking. Brethren would say, get off the stage. You know, like, we've all got our own little reasons. I know Pentecostals would say, you're fine, nothing's wrong. We have our little different things. But the reality is life and it happens. And we get these subtle messages. Now, we've all heard the subtle messages. The subtle messages are things that don't get preached from the pulpit, but we sort of feel them. You know, if you had a bit more faith, this wouldn't be happening to you. Or if you just, and we get a bit superstitious. If you'd put that extra $10 in that offering that time, that guy really manipulated you during that service, you know. You know, and if that keyboard player had played a little bit more just during that time, and I might have, oh, actually this is not a magic trick. Life is life, and people make decisions. You can't look backwards and say, oh my goodness, if only I had done this, if only I had done that, if only I had. You cannot beat yourself up about other people's stuff, and you cannot beat yourself up about the stuff that you have done. What is gone is gone. What is done, and we are here today, and that's just part of the process. My mum, she had Parkinson's disease. And she passed away after dealing with Parkinson's disease for 15 years. Now, she was the most beautiful Christian lady. If there was someone with the faith and did the right things and was faithful, she just lived this incredible life and yet had this awful thing happen to her. And I was speaking once and this young guy came up to me at the end and he goes, you know what, if your mum had more faith, she wouldn't have had that. He's in hospital. And I should probably be in jail. But anyway, I was like, seriously, bro, you have got to be kidding me. Are you serious right now about this stuff? But the reality is I have a Bible that says that's kind of how it should be. And I live, and whenever I speak about this stuff, I can kind of sense in the room there's always someone thinking, but hang on, Julia, back off. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. So how can you possibly have anxiety? And I say to them this, but the Bible also says, by your stripes I am healed. And some of you are wearing glasses. You're welcome. You know what I mean? I know that the Bible says, by your stripes I am healed, but my eyesight's terrible. And I live in the tension between the two. I know that the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but I actually deal sometimes with deep anxiety, and I live in the tension between the two. Does it negate God's ability to heal me? No. Does it mean I can't do anything about it? No. But I live in the tension between the two. I believe that marriage is for life and sacred, and I went into it with all of those intentions, and yet I ended up being separated and divorced. And I live in the tension between the two. My mum, beautiful Christian lady, Parkinson's. I live in the tension between the two. And with our mental well-being, we actually live in that. I went through stress, anxiety, burnout, and depression. And what happened was, from living with my stress-o-meter on high for so long, it came a point where my body could no longer cope. Your body is not designed to cope with being in fight or flight mode for ages. We were designed to have a little bit of stress and then chill out, up and down. But we live in high-stress environments all the time. And our bodies can't cope with that stuff. And what happens is they begin to react towards us. And these things come and these things happen. People started to notice. And I had to deal with this. My daughter noticed. And then a friend of mine noticed. And I'm really grateful for this friend. He was right up in my grill. You always need a friend who's up in your grill. We sat down for coffee and I wasn't feeling too good. I'd been under a lot of stress. He goes, "Oh, you look weird." "Thanks, mate." "You're not your normal self." He goes, "You need to go to the doctor." I was like, "Oh, excuse me, you go to the doctor yourself. I'm a New Zealander, I'm fine." Whatever. He has dealt with huge clinical depression and suicide issues. And you know what he said to me? "No one's going out on my watch." I was like, I'm so glad he was that gutsy. Because I did. I went and sought help. The final straw was I went to my accountant. And I walked in and that woman said to me, "You don't look your normal self." Now, if your accountant has noticed your emotional well-being, something's wrong. All right, so very quickly, how have I dealt with some of this stuff? There are four things I'm going to go through, and they all start with an F. I was going to call my message Julia Grace and the F words, but I was told that was not appropriate. But they do happen to start with F, so you can be that as it will. The first one is actually faith. Faith has been my stake in the ground. Meditation, prayer, the ability, I think, at some point to go, "I'm going to have some intention on this stuff." It feels like an anchor, and I can put it down into the ground, and even if my boat floats away, and I go off in my little paddle, my walker over here, and things happen over here, I can always pull myself back into that intentional place. I will never negate the ability that God can do amazing things and incredible things. However, he also gave us a brain and a body, and it's pretty amazing. So the second thing is whānau. I know it's a WH. Fast and loose. These are the friends and the family we choose. They're not always your blood relatives. Sometimes mental wellness issues run in the family, and telling another family member might totally freak them out. It might be too much for them. You know, it's like, okay, probably not the best person. You've got to pick wisely. Find someone you can trust. Don't tell everybody everything. A counsellor is well worth the investment. We invest, we spend money on our car, we spend money on our eyelashes, we spend money, you know, but we don't want to spend money on dealing with what's going on the inside of us. It's worth it. Totally worthwhile. Fullness. Depression is, the definition of depression is a dip. If you imagine a beach ball with a dip in it, if you try and suck that dip from the outside, you're just going to make the dip appear somewhere else. It's never going to go away. The only way to get rid of the dip is to reinflate the ball from the inside. We need some stuff that makes us full from the inside. I call these things that make you go, Things that make you go, You know those things? Those things that make you come alive from the inside, and everyone's different. Fitness. Fun. Fishing. Two men just woke up. I'll get that on tape for you later as a word too. You know, I mean, I'm not really interested in fish. I like eating fish, but I'm not really interested in fishing. You've got to find your thing, and you've got to allow that to build you from the inside out. Pharmaceuticals. I told you it was fast and loose. I'm so grateful for modern medicine. They found that I had a big hole in my heart, and they stitched it up. It's got nothing to do with depression. But I'm really grateful for that. I'm also really grateful for the doctor who diagnosed the depression and gave me some amazing medication that helped me, particularly through that first stage, so I could go back to the top of the list and start dealing with the other stuff. Because I didn't have the energy to deal with that stuff. It's not a magic bullet. It's not the end. It's just part of the process. So grateful for that. It's amazing. And finally, forward focus. Not forward focus, although those are lovely cars. Awesome if you've got one. But forward focus. Looking forward, Paul said, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press towards my goal." Not pretending what is behind never happened, but actually at some point putting it aside and saying, you know what? I'm going to focus ahead of myself. Forward, forward, and forward. Michael and I have a little mantra. We say, forward, forward, forward to each other. You know, when the stuff starts to come and entangle us and drag us back, we're just going to say forward, forward, forward to one another. Deep in the heart of depression, I was reading a book to the kids at school. And sometimes you're having a conversation and you realize that there's a sub-conversation in your head. I think it's the Holy Spirit. It's God speaking. I remember reading this book, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. I'm not scared. What a beautiful day. Uh-oh. Divorce. Dirty old divorce. I can't go over it. I can't go under it. Oh no, I've got to go through it. We're going on a bear hunt. We've got to catch a big one. I'm not scared. What a beautiful day. Uh-oh, depression. Deep, dark depression. I can't go over it. I can't go under it. Uh-oh, I've got to go through it. Now for every one of you, there'll be different stuff in your story. But if you're in the middle of a fire, don't stop. It's a bad place to camp. Keep walking, keep walking, keep moving. You are in the right place tonight. You're in an amazing community surrounded by people who will be there for you and be there with you. But most of all, you are here in a place where God can move and can minister in your life. We have ripped open the Band-Aid. What do? We implement those things, our faith, our whānau, our fullness, and our forward focus.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.